We turn this morning to the consideration of King Manasseh, and I've always loved the story of Manasseh because though he is in most of his reign an utterly terrible king, yet it's in the depths of his wickedness that God shows his grace in abundance. It's like the Apostle Paul of the Old Testament. I mean, it's such a dramatic turnaround. And so it reminds us that a turnaround is always possible, that we can turn back to the Lord wherever we've been, whatever we've done. And so his story is found in 2 Chronicles 33, 1 through 20. When we're going through multiple chapters, sometimes I want to just hit the highlights in the time that we have together, but I think I can read this whole passage for us. We'll hear the story of Manasseh, and then I'll try to explain it to you and set it in context and teach you by God's grace about his grace. So let's listen to God's holy and inspired word. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. He took the image he had made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. I will not again make the feet of the Israelites leave the land I assigned to your ancestors, if only they will be careful to do everything I command them concerning all the laws, decrees, and regulations given through Moses." But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. And so he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Afterward, he rebuilt the outer wall of the city of David, west of the Gihon spring in the valley, as far as the entrance of the fish gate and the encircling hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in all the fortified cities in Judah. He got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. Then he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it, and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. The other events of Manasseh's reign, including his prayer to his God and the words the seers spoke to him in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel, are written in the annals of the king of Israel. His prayer and how God was moved by his entreaty, as well as all his sins and unfaithfulness, and the sites where he built high places and set up Asherah poles and idols before he humbled himself, all these are written in the records of the seers. Manasseh rested with his ancestors and was buried in his palace, and Amon his son succeeded him as king. This is God's word. As we begin a new year, it's easy to look back and see our failures, which might lead us to doubt any good things for the years to come. We may look back and see that we've really blown it. We may look back and find that we've wasted so much time or done worthless or even evil things. So how do we deal with the sense of guilt and loss? What do we do with the past failures? More importantly, how do we move forward from them and start to do the things that are good and right? Well, that's what the story of the Bible as a whole is all about. It's about coming to people who have done it wrong and helping them find a way to move forward through the grace and forgiveness of God. But today we consider a story that I think points this out so well, which is the story of Manasseh, who lived 2,600 years ago. His story can still encourage us, empower us to move forward from wherever we are, whatever we've done, wherever we've been. Before we look at specifically at his story, I want you to understand two background notes. That's one of the things as we jump into one of these chapters, we got to see some of the context to try and understand, you know, what's going on with this time in which Manasseh lived. And there's two things that I want you to particularly note. The first is that Manasseh is from good stock. He is the son of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was the best king Judah ever had. 2 Kings 18:5 tells us, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. And so what Hezekiah had done is he had eliminated the worship of all the false gods, worship of all of God in the wrong way, and redirected people back to the temple as God had commanded. He had the huge celebration of the Passover. He began to fortify his kingdom. And even when he was faced with the biggest challenges, he sought the Lord. Which leads us to the second thing that you need to understand, which is the Assyrian threat. So the Assyrians were a group of people that had lived for a long time in the Middle East. But about this time that we're reading, about 2,700, 2,800 years ago, they began to take over the Middle East. And they did it in a very brutal way. They would take the cities, and they would slaughter people, and they'd pile up their skulls. I mean, everybody was afraid of them because they were terrible. And they are the first of a succession of empires that dominate the Middle East. First Assyria, then Babylon, who defeated them, then the Medes and Persians, then the Greeks, and then finally the Romans. So at this time is kind of the first of those big empires, which is the Assyrian. And so what we must see is that Hezekiah lived in anxious times. He lived at a time when a powerful enemy threatened to destroy his kingdom. And so he struggled with what to do. Now, it's important for us to note that anxiety often becomes the occasion for sin. Anxiety is not itself sin, but the question is, what do we do with our sense of fear? And the negative response is that we, on the one hand, can seek to run away from life and drown ourselves in those things like drugs or sex or pleasures or food that will enable us to escape from life, or we can furiously try to solve it on our own. It's kind of the two responses. But then there's another response, is that we take the anxiety that we have, the fears that we have, and that we let that drive us to the Lord and see his rule over all and trust him. And so the question for Hezekiah is, what would he do? And he had a particular time where the Assyrian army actually surrounded Jerusalem. It's a huge army. And what was he going to do? And he sought the Lord, and he prayed to him, and he relied on God. He didn't rely on himself. He didn't seek any other way other than the Lord. Now, he used the defenses. He built a spring that enabled the city to get water to endure a long siege. You know, he did all the things that are the means that God uses, but he didn't do them without relying on God. He always was seeking the Lord. You can read his prayers. You can read about that in the passages prior to this. And the Lord responded by wiping out that Assyrian army. And so they left, and Sennacherib, the king, went back home, and his two sons killed him, and Judah had reprieve. So Manasseh, his son, enters into a similar situation. It's a scary time. It's an anxious time. There is still this big threat looming that could end their nationhood. And the question for Manasseh was, what am I going to do with this fear and anxiety that is facing me? Well, whereas Hezekiah was one of the best kings, Manasseh was one of the worst. Listen to all the things that he did again. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites, he rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah demolished. He also erected altars to Baals and made Asherah poles, so worshiping the gods of the nations around him. He bowed down to all the starry host and worshiped them. He sacrificed his children in the fire in the valley of Ben Hinnom, which was a common practice for the worshipers of Baal. He practiced divination and witchcraft, sought omens, consulted mediums, spiritists. It's like he's looking for something anywhere except the Lord. He did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, arousing his anger. He even made an image of a false god, and he took it, he put it right in the middle of the temple that had been made for the Lord. So he was really bad. He was the worst. No one was a worse king than Manasseh. And the result, of course, of his bad leadership and his bad example was that everybody else did worse than they had ever done before. 2 Chronicles 33:9 says, Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. And so things are getting bad in Judah. Now, God did not let all this go without a response. He still cared about his people. He still called them back. It says in 2 Chronicles 33:10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. And so they added to all their sins the sins of rejecting God's warning. Now, as we look at Manasseh, it's easy to just say, man, he's really bad, and he's bad, and we should just condemn him. And he is worthy of condemnation, for sure. But I also want us to look a little bit more deeply at what he did, because we need to understand, why did he go to all these false gods? Why did he rebuild the high places? Why did he bow to the starry host? Why did he sacrifice his children? Why did he practice witchcraft? Because he was trying to find some solution to the Assyrian problem. He was scared. He was anxious. Because it was difficult and it was scary. And so it led him in the wrong way. And so I think whenever we see, and if we understand that so often sin is rooted in our anxiety, then we can condemn it, but we can also have some compassion, because we see that it's rooted in the difficulties and challenges of the human situation with which we also struggle with, and which we have often sought a wrong solution to. And that's what I want you to consider. This past year has been an anxious time, and this year promises more of the same. So what a question is, what are we going to do with it? Will we drown ourselves in things that make us escape from us all? Will we just withdraw from life and not even do the things that we still can do? I mean, even if you're taking precautions, would you withdraw from things that you really could do? Or will we furiously try to solve things by our own power? Will we look for anything that will enable us to understand it all and put it all together, however outlandish it may be? Will we continue to relate to people with respect and honor? Or will we try to demonize in order to get some comfort by putting this side over here and our side over here? That's a response to anxiety as well. Or Will we bring it to the Lord? Will we seek the Lord? Will we let ourselves, as often as we feel anxious, as we begin to struggle, as we begin to find ourselves moving downward, will we lift our hearts up to the Lord? This challenge is based on our ability to see big. You know, our greatness as human beings is that we can see beyond just the things in front of our face. See beyond today. See beyond tomorrow. See the past. We can see so much, but our power is still limited. So we can only do so much about it. And so the question is, what do we do with that gap that causes us so much anxiety? And what Manasseh did was he saw anything but the Lord. Our challenge is to take all those things, all those struggles we have, and let our first response be to seek after the Lord, like Hezekiah did. So we return to faith, and then we work out of that faith where God has put us. That is the proper response to anxious times, to trust and then move forward in the place that God has given us, to do our duty, to do good things in the place where God has put us. Now, the good news is Manasseh, though he was the worst, didn't end up that way. He was restored, and that's what we want to look at. And in a way, it's the fact that he is the worst that makes this restoration so powerful and so beautiful and such an amazing lesson for us. When God brings light out of that darkness, it is a glorious thing when he says, "Let there be light." And that's what he did in Manasseh's life. So Manasseh, in spite of all his fears, in spite of all he did to get out of his fears finally came upon him. The commanders of the Assyrian, of the army of the king of Assyria came and they took him. And it says, in a very graphic way, they put bronze shackles on him and they put a hook in his nose, dragging him to Babylon, far away from home. And at this point, when Manasseh was in Babylon, in chains, he finally listened. He finally listened. It says, "In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his ancestors." He finally gave up on all those other solutions and went to the right place, the Lord, the God of his ancestors. He returned and sought the God of his fathers. His deep distress finally lifted him up to the Lord. Doesn't always do that, but in Manasseh's case, by the grace of God, it did. And then it says that the Lord heard Manasseh in prison. Listen to these beautiful words. "And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved. The Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea." God is always ready to move toward those who move toward him. He's the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, ready to forgive. And that's why we should be encouraged. Even if we look at our past failures, even if we look at our past sins, even if we look at the things we've left undone, all the time we've wasted, because God is a God who forgives. Whatever we've done, wherever we've been, however much we've failed, we can hear the words of the Lord. "Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon." In other words, don't let your past failure and sin keep you from hope. The door is always open. God is ready to receive us. Now Manasseh let the altar of the Lord deteriorate. But the altar of the Lord always pointed to the fact that whatever Israel or an Israelite had done, there was atonement and there was forgiveness and there was restoration and there was a way forward. And the altar pointed forward to the cross. And so as often as we see our failures and sins, We need to see the cross of Christ because it always beckons us to return, to confess our sins, and to find forgiveness and healing. Come unto me, Jesus says, whoever you are, wherever you are, and I will give you rest. So this should encourage us that wherever we've been, whatever we've done, we can move forward. But it should also encourage us when we think about others, because we all have Manassas in our lives. Maybe not quite so bad as Manasseh. I mean, he's really bad. But there are people that we see have wandered away from the Lord, have driven their lives into a ditch, who are doing the wrong sorts of things, and it breaks our heart, and we're concerned for them, and we want to see them restored to fruitfulness and to God and the abundant life that he has. And so what we should see is that we should not give up. Manasseh went maybe decades doing the wrong thing. And eventually, though, he turned around. Don't give up on those Manassehs in your life. Keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord for them. The Lord does turn those people around, just like he did for Manasseh. But that's not the end of the story, and this is important. It's not just that God forgives, God also restores. Notice it says that after this, God brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. And so God brought a restoration in the life of Manasseh. And he brought him back to the land, but he also brought him back to being the king he was supposed to be. Because when he was restored, he started leading the people in the right way. He started leading them in worship of the Lord. He started building up the defenses instead of, you know, seeking all these other solutions that were going to help. He actually focused on his duty and built up the walls of the thing that, again, in God's providence was going to protect him from the enemy. He began to do what the Lord had said. And so he restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed fellowship offerings and thank offerings on it and told Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. So now he's leading the people in the right way. And that's what we can do too. If we've been doing the wrong things, we don't have to stay there. God restores, and we can turn around. We need to, and if we are seeing those things we haven't done, we don't just stay there and say, well, those things are just undone. We say, now we return to the Lord. We seek his grace. We seek his forgiveness. And by his grace, we move forward to do the things that he's called us to do in the place that he's called us to do them. So what have you left undone that God is calling you to return to? Don't let the past failures burden you. God is a God who restores. Go to him and find a God who is gracious and compassionate. Then go in his power to do your duty, to do what God has called you to do in the places he's called you to do it. The Lord is with you when you are with him. Let all who seek the Lord be encouraged, for all those who seek him will find him. We don't have to think that if we turn to the Lord, he won't turn to us. Those who seek him will find him. And that is the glorious lesson we can learn from King Manasseh. Amen.